The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
I mentioned Robbie Williams a few minutes ago, the singer who has a new single out today and is talking about narcissism and the fact that he is not a narcissist. He did an online test to prove it, no less. But what exactly is narcissism? How worried should we be if we see it, well, God forbid, in ourselves, but certainly in someone else? Enda Murphy is a psychotherapist and the director of SeeMe.ie. Enda, what exactly is it?
Oh, well, the good news is for all Robin Williams fans is that I read the article, and everything he's saying is that he's actually not a narcissist. And he's absolutely right, because he thinks he is. And that is probably the classic sign of somebody who's narcissistic, is that if anybody reading that article thought, oh God, maybe I'm narcissistic, because you thought you are narcissistic means you're not, because the dynamic behind narcissism is they are incapable of self-reflection. So somebody who's narcissistic will not be able to reflect and think, God, am I doing something wrong here? And the reason for that is that for somebody who's narcissistic, is that they have certain needs in their own self-esteem, you know, their own sense of self, their own sense that they are incapable, and their own sense of that they're incapable of filling themselves. So they will live vicariously through you. So what your purpose, if you're in a relationship with somebody who's narcissistic, is primarily your sole purpose is to fill this gap for them. So, you know, so anybody who's ever ended up, you know, I use the analogy of boiling a frog. If you put a frog in hot water, it'll immediately jump out. But if you put a frog in cold water and gently raise the temperature, eventually the water comes to boiling.
Okay.
And the frog is actually dead. He can't do it.
So what does that look like? I mean, how does the narcissistic person then present in your life? How do they arrive on the scene with the water still tepid?
Well, the water isn't even tepid. It's cold at this stage. But narcissists are incredibly charming at first, and they're really into you. You have something they want. They make you feel like a king or a queen. But as you get closer and you kind of, you know, you feel so great with them and they make you feel so good, you start finding less charm and gradually more criticism until eventually they're the king or the queen and you're feeding their ego, not the other way around. And remember, it's all about power. So, you know, as the water is warming up, you're trying to correct the imbalance. So you say, well, listen, I have needs in this. So they'll use every tactic to convince you that there must be something wrong with you for having needs, because, you know, your sole purpose is to satisfy my needs. And, you know, there's another expression is that whatever the narcissist accuses you of is as close to a confession as you're ever going to get. But there's somebody did a very clever kind of a thing one time. They said the narcissist's creed, and this is the narcissist's prayer. And, they said that didn't happen. And if it did, it wasn't that bad. And if it was, then I didn't mean it. And if I did mean it, you deserved it. So they will deny everything.
Gaslighting. I mean, that wasn't always very, but that's what that is. Like, that didn't happen when it quite really did happen, is gaslighting.
Absolutely. That's gaslighting. And if it did, it wasn't that bad. So if you say, well, look, there it is there. Well, you're overreacting. And then if it was, well, I didn't mean it. So because I didn't mean it, therefore, it doesn't matter. In other words, I have no responsibility in this. But if I did mean it, well, you're bad for having challenged me. So what happens is that, you know, like kind of gradually, if you keep being in this, all right, you eventually start to believe that the way they treat you is normal. You feel guilty for having needs. You start putting your own needs aside and focus more and more on their needs. And they convince you that this is normal. If you only treated me better, then all would be okay. But it's like filling a bottomless pit. No matter how much you give, you can never fill their void.
And I take it then from that, two narcissists won't, to use the kind of the Love Island parlance, won't couple up.
No.
Certainly not for long.
Well, there is a flip side of the coin to the narcissist, and this is where we go down the whole role of codependency. So if you're a type of person who's, you know, we live in a world of people who are more takers than givers. And if you're one of these people who kind of tends to give more in a relationship, then this is a magnet for a narcissist. So people who are codependent are used to being giving because of their own traumas. because of, you know, they lived in a world whereby their needs were never met. And, you know, when you go down the road of reading, you know, narcissistic parents, okay, where instead of the parent meeting the child's needs, the child's sole purpose is to meet the parent's needs. So it's all about the parent, all right? And we've all, you know, like kind of everybody has heard about that, you know, the narcissistic parent who would be like that. But what eventually happens is that you start giving more and you think, well, if I give them more, I will get back what I need. So you're going with people who are emotionally unavailable to you. And then that gradually just starts warming the water until it just becomes this abusive relationship with coercive control, whereby your soul needs, you're bad for not giving me everything I want. But of course, how they do it is by a process of what's called intermittent reinforcement. And it's the same dynamic that occurs in compulsive gambling. They will give you what you need very, very occasionally. So they will validate you, but it's always qualified and rational. You are rationed. You'll only get it if you are good and have temporarily satisfied their demand. But if you get it once, and if, you know, because of your own codependency, you suddenly start feeling, oh, well, that means I'm okay. You now become dependent on them validating you. You lose your ability to be able to validate yourself.
Enda Murphy, psychotherapist and director of CB.ie. Enda, thanks a million for speaking to us. Always an enlightening conversation when Enda is on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.